Welcome to The Real Podcast. I'm a certified professional life coach and a regular person on my own personal growth journey. I've worked with people in the service field for over 25 years, and I have coached many people to create a more satisfying and meaningful life. I've also overcome tremendous personal obstacles and built the life of my dreams. The personal growth journey is about committing to a lifetime of learning and empowering yourself to make changes that will bring you closer to your dreams. You can activate your full potential and a better, brighter future through commitment to your own personal growth process. Although your journey is yours to travel alone, on The Real, I will cultivate conversations about real topics that can help guide and motivate you on your personal growth journey and help improve your physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual, social, and financial health. So join me on The Real and learn how to embrace and harness your full potential to transform your life and the lives of others. Hi, today we are with Dr. Elisa Berger, who is one of the managing partners at Cross Country Computer, a direct marketing service bureau on Long Island. This mother of four girls earned her PhD in applied research psychology at Hofstra University. She enjoys spending free time with her family, and she and her husband of 15 years do most everything together, including work, exercise, travel, and attending concerts and plays. This is a fascinating conversation with Dr. Berger, so please enjoy the podcast.
So hi, Elisa. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing your personal vision and your world vision with us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, first I want to start out with my definition of what a personal vision is, and then I wanted you to share like how you've established your personal vision and what that personal vision might be and how it served you. So I kind of foresee the personal vision as something we take about, you know, a vision of our life based on who we are, our skills, our talents, our experiences, and then who we want to be, right? It's not just who we are, but who we want to strive to be and what we like, what we want, and where we want to be in life. So how have you established your personal vision?
You know, I think it started a lot many years ago, right? I did have a vision for myself when I was a kid. I used to always, have to ask my dad for money or, you know, beg him for the things that I wanted. And, you know, I'm like, I'm not doing this my whole life. I'm going to be, you know, independent and making my own money. So even as a kid, I'd envision, you know, like what kind of house would I have? I'd have this dinner party. And it'd be this like long table that you see in the, movies that have, you know, probably you would see a lot of in royalty, that kind of
right,
thing.
Right,
like
right.
Like this really long table.
Yeah.
And
with
I just,
the candlesticks,
you know,
and everything.
Yeah. And the china and the high back chairs and the whole thing. And I just I would always think about that. And that was kind of like, this is going to be where I'm going to be. I'm going to be independent. And, you know, my vision kind of, you know, how I was going to get there, I wasn't 100% sure. I made a couple stops along the way. At first I thought, okay, I'm going to go into psychology. And I actually did major in psychology and graduated with a doctorate in psychology. But I...
Wow.
Yeah. The focus, though, was on clinical psychology, and then ultimately I made the turn into business because I decided I really liked the business world was a better fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just saw things along my path that really reinforced this vision of independence. I need to be independent, I saw my mom unable to get divorced because she didn't have, she wasn't financially independent. I saw when I was getting divorced for the first time, you know, the only time, that, you know, my lawyer said to me, oh, you're lucky that you can afford to be or afford to get divorced. So I know it, there's this whole theme has always been with me my whole life about independence, and especially as a woman. And right. So for me, that is part of the, my personal vision. And it's also a vision that I try to instill in my four daughters. I'm glad to say my daughter now at age 26 is independent. I used to be afraid, you know, if I went traveling on vacation, that God forbid something happened to me, I had to have a list of numbers she could call immediately to get money to, you know, to survive and
right.
pay the bills. And I just like this overburden of making sure she, you know, was okay. You know, mm-hmm. especially when we were on our own.
Right.
So
you were a single mom.
I was a single mom for 5 years, and you know, I was proud to say that, you know, when I got divorced, I had $4,000 in a college savings fund for her, and somehow by myself, I was able to pay for her whole college, and that was a big accomplishment for me. Mm-hmm. And also, it enabled, you know, because I have this big need to make all the ladies in my life independent and self-sufficient. So I'm doing that now with my stepdaughters, as well as glad to see my finished product, which is my 26-year-old, who is also in that way. So anytime that, you know, so for myself, right, at 55, I have, you know, climbed the corporate ladder, did that, and then moved to being part of a partner with my husband at Cross Country Computer, which was in the same industry. I didn't really.
And you're running that now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a major accomplishment as well.
Yes. And I always find too that you make your job what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So when I first, you know, I have an analytical background. So when I left my job at Epsilon as a VP of analytics, I came over to Cross Country and they didn't have much in the way of data to even analyze. But I've been there 15 years now and we've got lots of data to analyze. And I've, you know, lots of accounts. I'm actually doing exactly what I wanted to do. But it's like, you know, you have to bloom where you're planted, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so as life, you know, I was traveling.
That.
Yeah. So you've got to, you know, you've got to make it what you want it to be and
mm-hmm.
work hard to get there. There's no free rides. There's
right.
nothing like that. There's nothing short of hard work. I've always, my motto, and I think my reputation has been that everything in the company, I feel as a reflection on me, how the company operates, how we deliver customer service. If there's a mistake, it's all a reflection. So, you know, I insert myself and my guarantees or, you know, how we deal with problems, those kinds of things, make sure to get involved with the resolution of everything. So it's, you know, you have to be there. Your word has to mean something, and
right.
your reputation has to mean something. It's not about...
As a woman, too,
yeah.
I think it's very hard to establish a good reputation and, you know, authority. How has that been for you?
You know, I feel like I've never tried to lead through, you know, demanding things.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to lead by example. And lead by, you know, having people follow my lead because they believe that what I'm doing is the right thing or they have a respect for me. So
right.
that's what I've worked hard to establish is respect of the people that, who were my peers, superiors, and at all levels. And to always keep in mind that you can learn something from everyone.
Right.
Never think that you're better than anyone.
Right.
I mean, we're all on this earth. We're all equal. It's just a matter of what can you learn from every person? And I have found you can learn something from everyone.
Oh, my gosh. I love this. I wrote down this quote, actually. It's kind of like my mantra. It says, learn from all, judge no one, be kind to all, and say thank you.
Yeah.
Those are good rules, right?
That
now,
is
let me
a great
ask you
one.
This. Mm-hmm. Our personal vision is constantly changing, right? We get new information, we get new knowledge, we have new experiences, whatever it may be that changes our vision, it's always changing and evolving. With how has your vision evolved over the years?
That's a good question. So, I mean, I never thought I was going to be an entrepreneur. I always liked the security of having, you know, working for a company where I didn't have to worry about the bigger, you know, picture, and I was getting my paycheck. But then, you know, now that I'm in this role of running and partnering at Cross Country, you know, I really see it in a different way. And I don't think I could go back at that point. So that's one thing that's changed. But also too, over time, I've been able to, you know, it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Once you've got certain things in place, you can start thinking about other things. And now that I've, you know, gotten certain financial things in place, and I've paid for college and things like that, that I'm thinking more, you know, of helping others. And so that's been more of a focus these days. But I mean, you know, so every... you know,
right, your kids are getting older and
right.
They're going out of the house, so now you have more time and,
yeah.
You know, so.
And self-improvement, too. So that's been another focus, different areas of self-improvement. So, all right, you know, like focusing, it's going to sound so basic, but like upping my skin routine game, you know, making sure I'm taking care of my own health and, you know, combating the aging process or whatever is there,
right.
Dealing with all of that as well. So that's part of the things that have changed, you know, just physical changes and actual changes in who I'm surrounded by as people leave the nest, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now, our vision is there to guide us in developing our personal strategy, short-term, intermediate, and long-term goals, right? So you have a vision, and I find having a vision for myself was really helpful. I established a purpose for my life. I identified values and character traits that I wanted to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
I had a vision of success in my personal life and my career and professional life, and I also added to it what I can contribute to the world. So as I've established this vision, I feel that it guides my decisions, it guides my behavior. Now that I have a vision of what my life is going to be like, it helps me make decisions much easier because I know where I'm going. So mm-hmm. All my decisions are aligned, and it makes for a better plan, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, that's a great way to think and be. I mean, when you think about your daily life, you don't think about as many major decisions, you know, at a certain point in time that come up, going left instead of going right, that kind of thing. There's less of that than maybe when you're in your 20s and you're making big decisions about what to study, where your first job will be and how, you know, so I'm kind of baked in a lot of ways. This cake is baked in a lot of ways, but you know, so for me, my vision is just, you know, like trying to pick things to kind of reinvent myself in some respects, like now, okay, well, I'm not, you know, everybody's in college or out of college and, you know, now what? And so, trying to figure out what the back nine looks like. And it's definitely I'm going to personally be working. You know, I always say I'm going to work till, you know, I can't work. Yeah. And then, because I think that's important to keep your mind active. And that's, you know, I guess a vision for myself is that not being a couch potato or, you know, I just think inactivity of mind and body is something that's part then of my vision, always. And,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
Oh, okay. What do you think holds most people back from creating and realizing their personal vision?
I feel like sometimes people say words that of what they want and what they hope their lives will be, but they don't look at themselves introspectively and take a hard look at their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And the actions and the words don't necessarily line up with it. So
right.
I think that's, they have to be in line. You know, like you said, you have a vision and it makes your decisions easier.
Right.
But I think a lot of people don't align their actions
right.
with
right.
their
maybe
vision.
They don't think long term enough.
I guess maybe they're just thinking for the moment. Their favorite expression is later. And I'm like, oh, can you please pick this up? Yeah, I'll do it later. You come back, it's never done. You know, later never comes. And I think that is, forget later. There's only now, and do it now. So that's a big thing. Later
yeah.
is the worst enemy.
Yeah. Now is what we want, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's because you have to say, what am I going to do now? Sometimes when I'm thinking about, you know, like you just have to think of what is the grand thing that will make a difference. Like say I want to close a deal at work,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sale or something, and we're up against somebody else. And I say to myself, okay, what if I was that person, what would I want to hear or what could I hear that would make a difference and make this a no-brainer for them? And then I craft something or offer something that's, you know, more out of the box, puts a little more, you know, a skin in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, that it's an offer they can't refuse.
Right.
So that's like the whole thing is about your life. You have to just say, well, how am I going to get there? And just treat it as a series of, you know, making it offers people can't refuse or situations where you can't lose because you've got to just keep going to get where you want to be.
Right. Now, it takes really knowing yourself to create a vision, right? You have to know your strengths and weaknesses and your talents and everything. And it's aligned with who we are and what we really want. Do you think, I find that many people don't really know themselves or what they really want because they get distracted by, say, trends or, you know, what everybody else is doing or having or social media or
mm-hmm.
Whatever distracts you from your own personal desire, you know, whatever, you know, there's so many distractions. So how do you feel about that, about people knowing, like being reflective and knowing themselves and kind of going back to the same question as to why people don't do it? But, you know, let me just wrap it up by saying, you know, it takes really knowing yourself to create a vision and really
yeah.
knowing what you want. Do you find people know that or do you
yeah,
think
there's
a
I
lack
mean, I
there?
You hit on a lot of things there. And that part of it, it has an underlying point is with social media, the next generation is really looking, they don't even really know what they want. There's a lot of things that they see out there where other people want and they think they want that, but maybe they really don't want that.
Right.
And knowing what, you know, and as far as strengths and weaknesses are concerned, I'm sitting here, I'm like, you know, I don't really like to think about weaknesses, because weaknesses are areas that you can improve upon. But I like to think of it more as preferences, and your strengths are generally what you prefer to focus on anyway.
Right.
So that will help guide you. You know, if you find yourself wanting to achieve a goal and you have some big deficit in an area, yes, you can, but you can probably improve in that area, but really go with what you like to do, what you feel comfortable doing, and you'll be a success with that because you'll be passionate about it, and
right.
Nobody will force you to have to do it.
Right. That's so important. Passion, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, I love that saying, what is it? Bloom where you're planted.
Yeah.
You can make anything whatever you want, right? So there's a process of self-discovery to clarify what's most important to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of trial and error to find out what I like. Like I might be like, oh, do I like that? And I might try it and see. And so there's a lot of self-discovery that goes on, right? And, you know, you have to be aware of yourself to pick up on these things, right? Because a lot of people seem to go through life in autopilot and aren't really aware of what they're doing. They're just kind of doing it. Do you find that happens?
Definitely. And I would say COVID didn't help anything with that either, because I'd add another one to it, which is you've got to get out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear the kids and they'll say like, oh, I'm going to work from home, or I'm going to, you know, I want to do school from home. I want to work from home. I want to do everything from home. No,
I think
it's unhealthy. It's very unhealthy. You're never going to meet anybody.
Right.
If you're sitting on your bed, you know, they're not even sitting upright. They're like laying, and their body language isn't even conducive to learning or growing. So you have to try things. You have to get out of your comfort zone to see what you like, what you don't like, and then take it from there. You're never gonna know until you try it. You can't just read a book about it or hear about it and say, I don't think so. You got to try a few things.
Right. That's so funny that you say people want to work from home. I've gotten so much feedback. I thought everybody would be so happy working from home. I've got so much feedback about people hating it.
Oh, well, I'm not one of those people, though. I love it. But I had a career before of being in the office. That's where I've met, you know, great relationships in my life, both, you know, friendships and romantic relationships is through being out there working and getting to meet people. And also all the experiences of, like, you know, events, you know, conferences, those kinds of things. You can't do those things in your house. You have to get out.
Right. Personal vision is very important to establishing, you know, your goals and everything. But our worldview, what I define that as, is a collection of attitudes, values, stories, and expectations we have of the world. Like, how do you see what's your worldview? Like, I see the world as someplace where everything happens for us, right? So, even bad things that happen, in the end, they're part of our journey, and they're meant to maybe change our direction or somehow do something for us. But I have a good worldview. I feel like everything happens for us, that people are generally good, that the world gives back. If you give, you get, you know, it's kind of a relationship like that. How is your worldview, and how does it fit into your personal view?
You know, I mean, the world, there's the world of things we can't control. There's the world of the people we surround ourselves by. So the world is, you know, kind of can have different definitions.
Right.
I would say the world has gotten smaller in some respects, you know, since the pandemic. or certainly during the pandemic, but even has lingering impact after the pandemic of not seeing other people as much as, you know, we might have in the past, that kind of thing. Not because we're afraid of germs or anything, but just because you got into a routine of doing whatever you did and now you have to get back out of that routine. So, but, you know, there's a lot of scary things happening in the world too. And being a minority, you know, myself, you know, of the Jewish faith, I'm a female, those kinds of things. There's a lot of negativity out there. You know, on the news, you hear a lot about anti-Semitism and things like that. And now they just said there's a warning New Jersey, there's a credible threat to synagogues. You know, I mean, not that that's not been the case before, but it just seems like now things are, it seems like it's more. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely crime seems to be up.
Yes. And so, you know, you just, there is kind of, in one respect, you want to go out. Another respect, you want to hide your head in the sand and just, you know, create a little bubble of a world for yourself where everything's
right.
Great.
Right.
So it's, there's a lot going on out there. And, you know, you have to also, too, I think not watching the news as much is healthier than watching it too much, so that you can, you know, keep a lot of positivity in your world, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I find sometimes, you know, my personal vision is to spread love.
Yeah, that's a good one.
To as much as I can. So I find that to be my purpose. Do you find that it's a lot of work to, you know, maintain your personal vision?
Not for me. It's not. Because, you know, I have a good work-life balance and it can be on autopilot a lot of times. So,
right.
You know, there's just, you know, I try to, I mean, yes, you, if you don't plan things for yourself, whether that be exercise, right? You have to, like for me, I want to, you know, have that time to myself. I mean, I do it with my husband, but, you know, where I, every day, 10 o'clock, I do my online boxing class. Then at 5 o'clock when the workday is over, we go for a bike ride, you know, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of, like, I find those times very cleansing because, you know, and it just frees you for that time. You're thinking about positive things. You're working on yourself. You're working on, you know, and I think I heard somewhere that you cannot be depressed when you're exercising. It's just, it's impossible.
Right.
Something with the
right.
endorphins. So
right.
I think exercise and things like that help, you know, get everything, get you
right.
in the next place. I'm not saying it's the cure for things, but it definitely should be part of the daily life, just because it's healthy all the way around, mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I ask you, what people or what resources or what has inspired your personal vision?
Definitely my family. I mean, and in some ways, you know, growing up, just like I said, just not every family is perfect. And sometimes a personal vision can come from seeing things you don't like and wanting to do the opposite.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's that kind of thing where I saw things I didn't like. You know, obviously my parents got divorced and also, you know, just that feeling of needing to not rely on, you know, being self-dependent, independent, you know, like I used to have this saying when I was a single mom and I had a mouse problem. I say we, it was me. I had a mouse problem in the house and I'd had, you know, set traps and all this. And then the mice would be in the traps and I'd have to go and, you know, take the dead mouses, the dead mice, and put them in garbage, you know? And I just kept saying to myself, well, I got to do it. Nobody's coming. So that's my expression of life. Live your life like nobody's coming and just do what you got to do. And, you know, that's how I've been able to be and have the vision, because I did have these different experiences. You know, I saw my parents getting divorced. I got divorced. You know, now I'm happily married. But all of that has formed who I am.
Right. Your experiences and everything. So it's evolved into...
From family.
Well,
I think you're a product of what happens, you know, very close to you. that's the people.
Yeah,
that
I think,
can influence
I actually think that we can't really know anything until we experience it. Like, I think that's how we know things, through our experience.
But you have to put your hand in the fire to know it's going to hurt. No.
Right.
So you don't have to experience everything. I also can learn from other people's experiences. I see things and I know I don't want that for me.
Right. Right.
And that kind of thing. So it's, for me, it's more of a mix. You know, certainly experiencing something firsthand leaves one kind of impression versus observation.
That's true.
You can learn from both.
That's true. That's very true. Okay, now you are part of a very loving marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're developing your personal vision, how do you do it with a partner? Now, your personal vision is your personal vision. Of course, it's going to include the people that are important to you, but how do you develop a personal vision when you have a partner?
Well, that's how, the you know, when I got engaged to Tom, my husband, he you know, didn't like that I was traveling so much and said he wanted me to come work at his company. And so that was not part of my personal vision for myself at the time. It was like, what? You know, and, you know, there was a lot of trust there to have to leave, you know, my own path and then start a different path. Luckily, it's the same industry.
Right.
So, you know, I was able to, like I said, bloom where I was planted, which was this new thing. But, you know, we do other things. We have our own joint vision, if you will, for our lives. So you have the personal vision of who you want to be. And if you're not fulfilled in that way, then your marriage isn't going to be happy.
Right. Right.
So everybody's going to be happy as an individual. And then together, you can, you know, be happy and have a vision as a couple as well. So, you know, otherwise you're going in different directions and, you know, the visions aren't always going to align. But so for us, you know, we like to do things, right? So I said, you know what, with everything in the 2020 and coming back to life in 2021, I said, why don't we do one overnight trip a month somewhere? And it doesn't have to even be anywhere you take a plane to or anything like that.
Right.
So we did that, and we're in the process of doing it. Here it is, November. I've got a December down and a November trip plan. But it can be as simple as, like, oh, we're going to go to try out this new hotel over in Huntington, right, and
mm-hmm.
spend the night there. And when the one in Northport opens, we'll go spend a night there. And it breaks you from your routine, and it gets you focused on each other. So that's part of our shared vision for ourselves, is to find time for each other. And that definitely does take work. When you're sitting there thinking about your own personal visions, you've got to have a shared vision that is on this relationship and how to, you know, make it the best it can be.
Right. Well, that's awesome. Well, you have success in all areas of your life. And before we go, do you have any wisdom to share with everyone?
Probably all the things that anybody would say would be like major life events that have happened to them, like my parents' divorce, my marriage, my divorce, my, you know, having a baby, all those things. Those are the things that really are things that test or alter or refine your vision.
Right,
because
right.
At those points, some of the players have changed, some of the factors have changed. And so, you know, you just have to roll with it, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have to mean compromise who you are. You know, never compromise. You're not going to be happy if you don't find ways of getting there. And maybe it's not a straight line. Maybe you have to make a left and a right and there's a detour, but you can still have good days and make progress towards your goals,
mm-hmm.
even when you do have a detour. And
right.
I have to say another thing too, this is just a side, is dogs. I think pets are really important for me, you know, having a dog, and it just is very, it's like helps my mental health.
Oh my gosh. I had a dog. I've had a couple of dogs, but I had a dog just recently die last year. And I have to tell you, my life feels a little empty without it, because I live alone, so you know that was my source of love.
Yeah.
You know, I would get and give a lot of love to that dog, and now I feel a little lost. So I agree with you there.
A big part of the day is spent on this dog. Where is he? Is he eating? Is he drinking? Does he have to go to the bathroom? Oh, let me pet him. Oh, he wants to play. You know, like, so even at, you know, but it's a good thing. I mean, and it's just, you know.
Well, giving love, right? Giving love, don't they tell you by helping others and by giving love, you feel better?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that's part of, you know, my thing too, is like one person at a time, just try to make a difference wherever you see an opportunity. You have to look for the opportunities. Opportunities don't always raise their hand. You have to look and say, here's a situation. What can I do to make this person's life better or help them with this issue? And, you know, like, you know, recently a friend, my mother's friend, you know, had diagnosed with cancer and things. And there's nothing I can do, right? But I can give them tickets to the Engelman and maybe they can have a nice night out or, you know, something like that. And then you find ways, whatever you can do to make someone's life a little bit better.
Right.
If something comes your way, it's not by coincidence. It's a test in a way to see how are you going to respond and how are you going to be, you know, the best person you can be.
Everything is. It is an opportunity that, you know, that we have to identify. And I feel that it takes a lot of self-reflection and self-work before you can do what you're saying. And that is, we also talked about this, you know, expanding your paradigm to include community and not just, you know, your particular personal circle,
right?
To expanding out to the community and to the world is so important, I think, but yet you can't do it until you yourself are a solid, stable, happy person, right?
Got everything in place for yourself, but yes, right. Like Giving Tuesday, right, which is coming up. Every year I pick 3 or 4 charities to donate to on Giving Tuesday, and they're all things related to things in my life. So my dad, and before he died, used to benefit from Meals on Wheels over in Florida. And he would be so excited, looking forward to the food being delivered and, you know, who's going to come to the door and drop his sandwich off. And, oh, what did he get? A chocolate, you know.
Right.
All so every year I donate to West Palm Beach Meals on Wheels, where he lived. He also had heart disease. So I just donate to the Heart Association, and then I've had cancer in the family, Cancer Association, and just other, you know, AFC.
Well, you reach out so much more than that, too. I mean, You help the people that work for you. You provide a livelihood for so many people. And you help me. You help, just in your daily life. Like, you're not even, you know what I mean?
Consciously, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of also, too, why I want to work for a long time, because I feel a responsibility to the people at my company to make sure that there's a company there for them to earn a living at, and so I want to keep the integrity and, everything going as long as I can, because I do feel a responsibility towards them who help me every day. And, we can't.
Well, that's an amazing quality in a leader to feel that way. So
yeah,
I hope they feel that from you. I'm sure they do.
We try to appreciate. So we have employee appreciation. We try to do something once a quarter. Where one time we had everybody gets a pizza, and so we have a lot of remote employees. So we're sending them pizzas to their house.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
That. So we try. We're not perfect, and we learn. All of this is learning, right? Nobody's done. But,
right. I love that song. It's called Masterpiece, and it says, I'm still working on my masterpiece, and that's what it is, right? That's what life is. It's our masterpiece, and it's a work in progress.
For sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your personal vision and your world vision. You have definitely achieved so much success, and you're very inspiring. And I really thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome, Jane. And I think you're inspiring too, because you're so, introspective, and all that you're doing for yourself, and you're very giving of yourself to others too. So I right back at you.
Aw, thank you. Okay, take care.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Directly following the podcast, listen to the song Whatever It Takes by Imagine Dragons. Enjoy.